Now, God has given his people many, many promises throughout the world, throughout his word, sorry. In fact, as I read the Bible, I'm always finding precious promises that God made. And we need to believe and hang on. And this morning, I want you to be listening to this revelation. You've heard it before, but I want you to get it in you, inside you. And I want you to start living it. Because this will transform the way you live your life. It totally transformed me years ago. And every now and then, I then go back to this word and it just overwhelms me again. You will live forever. Anyway, as I said last week, some of these promises are to individuals or certain groups of people, while others are made to everyone. These are the promises. In our series, Priceless Promises, we're continuing to focus on the promises that God has given specifically to those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior of their lives. In other words, these aren't generic promises that are offered just to anyone, but they're exclusively made to those who are in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the good news, like I said last week, the good news for those of you who are not yet in a relationship with Jesus is that you can come into a relationship with him. And once you do, all these promises will come to life in your life. They will become true. Jesus once explained to a group of people the relationship that he has with God the Father. And while doing so, he gave this priceless promise. In John chapter 5, verse 24, he says, "I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life." Jesus says, "I tell you the truth." This is something you can take to the bank. This has got God's signature on it. You can trust the promise that Jesus is giving here. Now let's look together at three aspects of this promise. First, you can in your outlines that you've given this morning. Number one, open up your heart to receive God's offer. Jesus said that this promise is for those who listen to my message. So, everyone, wake up! This is a message that you need to listen to. Jesus says this, okay? I'm serious. Jesus said that this promise is to those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me. So if you're wavering off and thinking about lunch and all that, stop. Listen to this message. A number of years ago, in 1994, a rock band called Oasis. Anyone know who heard of Oasis, the rock band? 1994, 22 years ago. So half of you guys weren't even born. Nah. Well, they made a song called "Live Forever," and I just want to read some of the lyrics to you. It says, I won't sing them out because anyway, "Maybe I will never be all the things that I want to be. But now is not the time to cry. Now's the time to find out why. I think you're the same as me. We see things they'll never see. You and I are gonna live forever. We're gonna live forever. Gonna live forever. Live forever. Forever. Forever." Woo, encore. Encore. Really? It sounds like to me that Oasis is just basing their song on wishful thinking, isn't it? Like, "Hey babe, we're going to live forever." Some sort of hippie romantic notion. But those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ base the fact of our eternal life on the objective basis of Jesus' promise. I'm not promising you eternal life. I'm not standing up here and promising you eternal life. The promise is not coming from me, it's not coming from a government, it's not coming from a man or a woman on the internet. It is coming from Jesus Christ himself. The promise comes from the lips of God in human flesh. Jesus says that if you open up your heart to him, then he will give you the promise beyond your wildest imagination. Now, there are two things that you need to do this, to receive it. Number one is listen to Jesus' message. You've got to listen to him. If you want to experience the promise of Jesus, then you must first listen to what he has to say to you. Listening is just more than hearing. Okay, it's just more than sitting in a sermon while thinking about the upcoming football game this afternoon or game or lunch. A lot of you people have said, I haven't mentioned the football in the last few weeks. The Dockers need a bit of prayer life, don't they? Well, the Blues are coming back. Sorry, that wasn't written down here. I don't know what happened. Sorry. I don't know what came over me there, but it is hearing the words. And then processing them through your mind. How's this for a sentence? It is giving intellectual consideration to what is being said. I love how we can intellectualize. Is that it? Words, can't we? But listen what Jesus says in the Bible. I love Jesus because he's very, very simple. John 10:27 says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. You can hear Jesus' message at Bible-believing churches like this one. You can hear it on the radio. You can hear it what others said about him or read about him. The best thing that you can do is crack open your Bible and actually read the words of Jesus yourself. The decision to become a follower of Christ only takes place after you have truly listened to what Jesus has to say. And how do we do that? Open up the Word of God and actually read what Jesus has to say to us. Number two, believe in God. Jesus said that the second thing we must do is believe in the God who sent him. True belief is represented by action. And I can say, I believe in something, but if I don't believe in it enough to do something about it, can I say I truly believe? Can I? Can you? When I truly believe in God, it leads me to a place where I trust in him. It isn't just saying I have an intellectual belief that God exists, but saying and acting upon the belief that the God represented in the Bible is the true God, that I'm willing to place my eternal destiny in his hands. That's trusting in Jesus' promise for you. The following two things are what you can expect from a result of his promise. Number two is know that eternal life is your present possession. John 5:24a says, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. Notice that he doesn't say will have or it's a good possibility or that this is something you might be able to look forward to. Have means present possession. If you're in a relationship with Jesus, you already possess eternal life. I understand that we're yet to experience all the wonderful truths that go along with eternal life and that have not yet seen, and we have not yet seen heaven. But the fact is that eternal life is already in your possession if you are a believer of Jesus Christ. The full experience yet in our future, but the possession is already a reality. Wow! This incredible truth transformed my life. When I had a revelation of this truth, all my fears that I used to operate out of seemed absolutely silly and insignificant. When I suddenly realized that I am going to live for eternity because I believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he came and he died on the cross for me and you. And I accepted him into my life. That moment, all my fears seemed to go. And I've traveled life. Since I have given my life to Christ, I have had things happen to me. I've actually had cancer. I've had a lot of things happen to me in my health that I should be fearful of, but I haven't been. And I can only say it's only because I know that I'm going to live for eternity. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is alive and well in me. I will not die but live. You will not die but live. I will leave this world and enter the presence of God for eternity. Wow, I believe this. I love that song. Hey, 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 hey. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. I love hearing that. But I do. Actually, it was at this point when I was in Morley Galleria when I was going, hey, I love that song. Hey, hey, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. But that's how excited I am. That's how we should be. God wants us to be excited and know that we know that we know that you and I are going to live for eternity. And there's people out there that are not. I believe in God for all aspects of my life. Guidance, assurance, protection, encouragement, wisdom, provision. Talk about believing for God's provision. I mean, for the church. I mean, look at that car park out there. Should have cost us $110,000, but it was $40,000. So what do? We managed to, well, Lance, he's the accountant. You know what? Just this week, we had a guy come and look at our lights, and there's an OHS problem, and they're dodgy. They're about 35 years old. There's a brick sitting up on the controller of it. There's power going into the box, power going out, and there's a brick on top of it. You know, that's how we roll here. But to replace the lighting system is going to cost money. And I wrote an email to the elders. I said, oh, look, we've got this problem. We actually need to do something about it. But we've got to find funds to do it. We've got to raise funds to do it. And you know what? As the senior pastor, I'd be going, oh, we're going to find that, we're going to find that. I don't know where we're going to find it, but I trust in God that he will provide the funds for it. Because look at this place. You walk outside and you have a look at the retirement village, the primary school, the high school, the well, the restaurant, Table Bible College. God created all of this from a bunch of people like you and me. Wow. That is God. Not my problem. It's God and Lance's problem. Oh, I'm going to get my butt elders meeting next time. I mean, you guys have been walking up there, the colonnade that hasn't been finished for like 8 years. You can see squares happening, and Kevin Burgoyne's going to be building it. We're starting to build. We're starting to finish things because of God's provision. Where did it come from? I don't know where it came from. God knows. That's up to him. He will build his church. Amen? Amen. Consider this passage, Ephesians 2:6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Now, according to this passage, we are presently seated with Jesus in the heavenly realms. Is this just a figure of speech? Is this just an illustration? No, it's not. This is a statement of present reality. While we might not see the heavenly realms with our eyes, we already possess the promise and the reality of existing there. Philippians 3:20 says, "But we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly awaiting for him to return as our Saviour." I was explaining to one of the staff members during the week, I said, you know how excited I am to get to heaven? You know, Paul was really excited that he just wanted to get there, he just wanted to be in heaven. And I thought, wow, how can I illustrate that to you this morning? And it's like, who's been on holiday here? Who's been in a plane and gone on a holiday? So a few of you. Okay. Who would like to go on a plane on a holiday? Remember I spoke about those lovely beaches last week, you know? It's like this. And please, if you've got any problems with what I'm saying, email Sally during the week. You go to the travel agent and you purchase a ticket for your holiday. How excited are you? So you purchase a ticket for this holiday. You're going to go on the plane to this destination that you've always wanted to go to. And that might be a month or 2 months down the track. So you purchase this ticket and how excited do you get? I'm going on a holiday. I'm going on a plane and going somewhere. All I've got to do for these 2 months is make sure that I don't break a leg, get sick, or anything else like that, and have all my affairs in place, you know, the paperwork, visas, and all that, so I can get on that plane. And there's that sense of excitement. And then you jump on the plane and you go, and it's like, yes, I look at that. Here I am. I know my ticket is in heaven. I know my destination is in heaven. And I am so excited about getting there and being there. But I've got to make sure that everything's right. I'm putting everything in plan and place and living my life, living out a good life and everything else. But I don't have to really do all that because I have my faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm already there. I'm already there. I'm there. So are you. You know, I once went to a, it was a meeting for selling stuff. I won't mention the company, but it was at the entertainment center. They all started jumping and clapping and saying, "We're going to Disneyland. We're going to Disneyland. We're going to Disneyland." It was a marketing thing, you know, and everyone was all excited. People were looking at one another going, "Are we? We're going to Disneyland?" But we're going to Disneyland. You know, we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. You know? Oh. Oh. We possess eternity now. We dwell in the heavenly realms now. We are all citizens of heaven now. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Do you? Whoa! The hope that we have is a certainty that God will come through this promise. And so far, all his promises have come to pass. Have they not? Today we experience the promise, but the day is coming when we experience the full reality of the promise. We know that the day is coming when we will shed all these earthly bodies. Everyone say amen. And be given new bodies that don't wear out. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:1-3 says, "For we know that when this earthly tent," okay, so, well, just call it a tent, that's pretty not nice, is it? tent we live in is taken down. When we die and leave these bodies, we will have a home in heaven, an eternal body made for us by God himself and not by human hands. We grow weary in our present bodies, don't we what? And we long for the day when we will put on our heavenly bodies like new clothing. Girls, say amen, new clothing. Yep. For we will not be spirits without bodies, but we will put on new heavenly bodies. Wow. There is coming a day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, when we will have no pain, no stress, and no suffering. Yeah. A day where we will spend our time with God and others who have called on his name. We will be given bodies that will never wear out and will never break down. Oh, I got to kick that football with my boys day in, day out. Can you imagine living a life where there is no longer a need for tears? No longer a need for tears. There were no longer any pastors sitting in a cafe crying their eyes out. Amen. Revelation 21. Oh, she is here. Revelation 21:4 says, God will remove all their sorrows, all your sorrows, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain, for the old world and its evils are gone forever. I believe. Now, here's the reason why I'm emphasizing this so much. We have a lot of born-again Christians. Who's a born-again Christian? Yeah. Do you believe? Oh, I'm speaking to the wrong crowd. We have a lot of born-again Christians who act like they're confused about their eternal destiny. This is not an argument for or against the doctrine of eternal security, but what I'm saying really isn't even delving into that. I'm talking about being willing to accept what the Bible teaches about our eternal destiny, no matter what view you hold on eternal security. Jesus clearly and simply states that if you believe in him, then you are in present possession of eternal life. Now, if you truly understand and believe that, you'll begin to live your entire life differently than you would if you're unsure of your salvation. Because when the matter of eternity is already settled, you are free to live in the power and freedom of Christ that we all desire. Now, you might say it would be presumptuous of me to claim that to already possess eternal life. Actually, I would say that if you are a Christian and you read John 5:24 and don't claim to already possess eternal life, you are willingly denying the promises of God. In other words, it is the Christian who does not claim to possess eternal life that is playing fast and loose with the Word of God. Fast and loose. It is not presumptuous to claim to have eternal life. It is biblical and it is the truth. Once we can grab onto this truth, it will completely transform our lives. No longer am I living with the attitude of maybe I will or maybe I am saved. Am I saved? I don't know. But instead, I'm living with the attitude, I know Jesus' promises to me is true, and I'm beginning to live in the confidence of knowing and presently having eternal life. When I know that I have eternal life, I will not be focused on trying to earn God's favor. But instead, will begin to live in the power that comes to me through the power of Jesus Christ, the person who already knows that he has or she has God's favor. It will completely free you up to live your Christian life and to conform to his will as you have never, ever done before. Now, there's a second part to this promise that we aren't going to spend much time on because we have a whole sermon subject on that in a few weeks. Number two, that is recognise that condemnation is a thing of the past. Going back to John 5:24, I tell you the truth. Those who have listened to my message, believe in God who sent me, have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. One of the things that Christians seem to fear the most is that is judgment. And according to Jesus' promise and because of his sacrifice, we have nothing to fear. In one sense, we fear of being in the presence of the Almighty God, and we should. But on the other hand, we have no fear of condemnation on our judgment because it's already been declared on the cross. Jesus says that we have already passed from death into life. Death is a thing of the past for those of us who call ourselves Christians, who are believers in Jesus Christ. We know that physically we will all die. Okay, we know that. Yet spiritually we will never cease to exist. There will never be one moment that you will not be fully conscious of all your surroundings. You are alive now, and you will always be alive because Jesus has promised that we have already entered into eternal life. Wow! Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, so now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Condemnation is a thing of the past for the Christian. We've been freed by Jesus. Amen. 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 Do you believe? Do you believe? Isn't it? I mean, we've all heard this before, haven't we? But do you believe it? Because when you do believe it, you'll start to transform your own lives and start living out that belief. But man, you know what? Nothing scares me. I might sound a bit macho, but nothing scares me. Because I'm going to live for eternity. I understand how the disciples, how they got martyred, but how they knew that they knew that they knew that they believed that they believed that they believed. They knew the truth, not just up here, but in here. That's what we've got to do. We've got to get it from here to here and start believing that you and I are going to live forever. Some of you might be saying, well, I don't want a new body. I'm quite happy with my own. And praise God, that's great. But you're going to have a better body whether you like it or not. Can I have the worship team up here? Now, I haven't given you any fun facts, have I? Have I given you any fun facts? No? Okay, here's some fun facts for you. In 1977, the fish merchant Lee Lance travelled to Chile and discovered the toothfish. The species of locals deemed it too oily to eat. Some of you are going, where's he going with this? Well, 30 years later, in a name change, Chilean sea bass, they called it, is so popular with American palates that it's almost on the verge of extinction. Now, this one. The Canadians developed an oil from the rapeseed. And it didn't sell. They still had to deal with the name, rapeseed. So in 1988, the FDA approved the name change to canola oil, and sales shot up. when the Californian Prune Board realised that the words prune and laxative were intrinsically linked, they switched to dried plums in the year 2000. Well, people bought it, and in a documented focus group, preferred the taste of dried plums to prunes, though they're eating exactly the same thing. In the 1960s, Frieda Kaplan, an American produce importer, changed the name of the Chinese gooseberry to what? The kiwi fruit, after New Zealand's national bird, which is round, brown and furry. You ever tried cracking one of them open and eat the insides of them? Popularity spiked. Even though the bony fish called the dolphin fish. Oh, who wants to eat a dolphin fish? It was an unrelated mammal to the same name, but diners still balked at ordering it. So in the mid-1980s, the restaurant started using the Hawaiian name, Mahi Mahi, and the thoughts of Flipper were all forgotten. Now, when we speak of the name change that takes place in life of a Christian from a non-Christian, we're talking a lot more of a name change. We're talking about a total transformation. We've gone from eternal death to eternal life. From eternal condemnation to eternal freedom. Not only does it sound better, it is better. I hope you'll join me in today in accepting and living this promise out. In John 5:24, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life.
This is an incredible, special message. And because of it, I do the things that I do in life. And I have incredible hope. I want to confirm this word. In my reading 2 days ago, I was reading in 1 Peter, and I was really struck by this passage. It says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. We have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through our faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is already to be revealed on the last day for all to see.
Wow. Thanks, Pete. Wow. Who's read that? 1 Peter. We should all be putting our hands up. It's the promises of God. Get your Bibles out and start reading God's word to us, God's promises to us. It's awesome.